The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
There's times when the Lord is saying, you will have your destination, but the process in between the destination is of such high value that there's times I'm going to ask you to trust me instead of getting the answer. And so often in prayer, we're after the answer, and yet he comes back and challenges us with a frustrating comment, will you trust me this time? God, I need the answer. The pressure is so great. And we got to know what we're doing, where we're going, and the deadline is coming. And he's saying, will you trust me? And also we have a conflict, or we even have, for some, it sends us into a crisis of faith to trust him. And then we discover we're far more secure with the answer than we are secure with him. And that's what he's after, is making the transitions.
The study of Abraham offers some tremendous challenges in our lives. He heard the voice of God so clearly, so surely, that he was ready to sacrifice his own son to obey the voice of the Lord. How many of us would trust our own hearing like that? It's a great challenge to take God at his word that his sheep know his voice. So how about you? Would you like to hear the voice of God like Abraham? Join us as we embark on a 3-week study on the life of Abraham. That's next on Sought Out Global Radio. So we welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm here and joined in the studio with Sought Out Global leaders Herb and Bethany Marks. And joining us once again and pinch hitting and substituting for Krista Pitcairn is my wife, Teresa Grote. Welcome to all three of you. It's nice to have you here.
Good to be here.
We're in sunny Bellevue, Washington today.
Yes, we are.
We are. We are recording from a beautiful condominium in downtown Bellevue. So if you hear big trucks rolling by in the background, don't be alarmed. There's nothing. We're not on the highway, and we're not in danger.
That's right.
And that kind of brings us to the story of the day, which is really about Abraham. And Herb, you had a word from God that you felt like Abraham was a good character study for us. So tell us what you felt like God was saying.
Well, you know, I was praying recently and just saying, Lord, we have such a privilege in reaching out and taking a moment with our listening audience, that they would take a moment with us. I mean, what a privilege that is. And so I was praying about this. I felt like the Lord just dropped in my heart the word, take a look at Abraham together. And Abraham's somebody very important. And there, as we look at it, by golly, I mean, Abraham has such a strong representation about what God's doing on the earth, God's love. In the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, immediately God started the process to reunite humankind back in relationship, that he wanted to be personally amongst his people. And the first 5 books of the Old Testament, called the Pentateuch, is a strategy to bring the ultimate Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin, that who'd ever believe upon him would have everlasting life. And the strategies leading up to that are recorded in the way that God came to strategically realign humankind with him. And Abraham is a major player in this. So when we're looking at his life, there are many promises, and there's a couple of them that we would have really, I think we'd have a lot of fun looking at it. We'd be blessed by it, and I think our listeners would be as well. There are some principles here that are meant for everyday life.
Well, when we were talking about Abraham, one of the things we talked about was that he's known as the father of faith, and the father of faith is a great way to start, but it's broad. There was a lot of detail about Abraham's life that tells us a lot about him and the way he lived with God, that where I think it's more than how we would just label it with that particular in that particular way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a man who was from Iraq, Middle Eastern as we would know it today. Mm. And he heard God clearly, and it sounds like he very quickly obeyed him in leaving everything that he knew and going into a place he didn't even know his destination. He was just obedient to God. And that's faith.
See, he could hear God. To me, that's really, he knew he could hear God clearly.
Right.
right? Because we talked about Isaac and the sacrifice of Isaac, or the potential sacrifice of Isaac, and what it would mean for a man today, for Herb or I, to be told by God that we'd have to give up our son. How could we ever do that and trust our hearing enough? And Abraham trusted his hearing enough to actually go through with it. He was ready to do it. The knife was raised high.
But by the time he got to that place, Abraham had a real relationship with God. He had a heart trust of God and his character, and that when God said something, he would be faithful to carry it out. And, you know, back to leaving everything that he knew. I like to look at that and think about that and apply it to my life, because I really believe that God does that a lot with us. He asks us to leave what's familiar, what we understand, what we're comfortable with, to go into more of him.
The unknown.
The unknown.
So that brings up a great observation, which you make me really think about, which is the difference between the destination of where we're going with God and the process for getting there.
Oh my gosh.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. There's so really much good. More of the process, you know, because
we all want the prize.
Well, we want the end. I mean, A to B. You know, if you get on an airplane, take off from Seattle, you're headed somewhere. And that's what we're used to, is, you know, destination, you know, where's the destination? And God asks Abraham to leave everything he knew that was secure, take his family, and it says, and he headed out, even though he didn't know where he was going. Mm-hmm. And this so tweaks, you know, the perceptions of what we're doing in everyday life, and the fact that we like to know where we're going. I mean, we really work towards a goal. I mean, if you go to college, the idea is to get a degree. And my nephew just got a degree at the University of Washington, really proud of him. And he had a destination, but there's times when the Lord is saying, you will have your destination, but the process in between the destination is of such high value that there's times I'm going to ask you to trust me instead of getting the answer. And so often in prayer, we're after the answer, and yet he comes back and challenges us with a frustrating comment, will you trust me this time? God, I need the answer. The pressure is so great. And we got to know what we're doing, where we're going, and the deadline is coming. And he's saying, will you trust me? And all of a sudden, we have a conflict, or we even have, for some, it sends us into a crisis of faith to trust him. And then we discover we're far more secure with the answer than we are secure with him. And that's what he's after, is making the transition. So here goes Abraham, an example of leaving everything, taking his family. They don't have answers. I mean, I can just hear family members saying, where are we going, Dad? Well, son, I know that God told us to go. Great. Where is he taking us?
When are we going to get there?
He doesn't have a son yet when he leaves, but he has a lot of people that go with him. He's wealthy. God blesses him. You know what I love is that from the beginning, and in so many of our lives, we have a knowledge of what God wants, but we are in process, like we were saying. And here's what God said to Abraham before he left everything that he knew. He said in Genesis 12, 1-3, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So from the very beginning, God's saying the journey. He's saying the beginning. He's saying the end. And yet Abraham is a foreshadow of so many things. You know, Jesus and his sacrifice. Today we have the Middle East still going at it between Hagar's son and Isaac, the promised.
Oh, wow. That's
and
good.
Yet here God says from the beginning, before the journey started, before Abraham decided to step into faith and following him, it's mapped out. And I think we could see that in our lives. We feel like we're fuzzy, but we are in process.
I just think that's so good. And if our listeners right now think about it, all the conflict that's happening in the Middle East and the rise up of ISIS, and which is so hostile to Israel and wants to annihilate the nation of Israel, that really does have historical ties. The root of that bitterness goes back centuries.
And I think we can say the radical side of Islam, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Because I don't think all Islam because people are
we got to remember, yeah. Abraham was Middle Eastern. His family was Middle Eastern. He chose to follow in faith.
Yeah.
But the Ishmael Isaac is very clearly drawn out. And it's stated here where those that are for Israel, those that are against Israel.
Mm. You know, one of the things that I really noticed about Abraham was the fact that he quickly obeyed. And I wonder if that isn't a big challenge in my own life, and that is I hear God, but then I hesitate. And I've had opportunity in times to counsel people about this very thing, that we are sometimes in a position where we're talking to somebody and they clearly know what they're supposed to do with God, but they're not doing it and they're hesitating. And so it's in that hesitation sometimes that we then step out of alignment with God.
I appreciate what you're saying, Mark. That's so good. A lot of times we can say to ourselves, well, I'm not really sure if I heard God well on that. And I can understand people holding off because they really want to follow the Lord and make the right choice. But I hear you saying this is an individual who knows this is, you know, what directive God has given to them in their life for this moment. And they're choosing not to do it. And carry us further with that thought.
Well, just delayed obedience is disobedience.
Come on.
That's what I was thinking.
It's really, that's all it is. It's that simple to me.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in my own life.
That's a harsh saying, because some will say, oh, come on, he's a loving God.
Really? So when your wife asks you to empty the dishwasher and you say, yeah, I'll get to it. And then she says, will you empty the dishwasher? Yeah, I'll get to it. Will you get to the dishwasher? Yeah, I'll get to it. Are you honoring her? By putting her off, it's really not that complicated. And so I think it's that simple with God. It's that simple that Abraham obeyed without hesitation. And to me, that's a huge key, because we tend to drag our feet. And it's sometimes out of a lack of trust in our own hearing. To me, that's what it comes down to, is we don't trust our own hearing. We take ourselves too seriously.
Well, and I want to talk about also the weight. Yes, he obeyed. It looks like he obeyed quickly when he was supposed to respond quickly. But the wait is just the wait, the waiting for God to show up after the promise. And it was how long, Mark?
Decades.
Decades.
Yeah.
Choosing to get up every day, believing that God was going to come through, watching his body waste away. It said he was as good as dead. I don't know what that
older.
Is.
Older. Yeah.
That's yeah. pretty darn old. And yet he considered his body, it says, and then knew God was still going to come through. Down deep inside, he knew
God's character
would come through.
Yes.
So we don't have that. A lot of us lack that type of, what is that, integrity to just wait it out with God and be faithful to the end. I mean, faith is to some extent a gifting, right? Some people just have a gift of faith. They can really stand strong in the gap for you, maybe more than you can do it for yourself. But I think maybe
there's a difference. There's the gift of faith, where you could see a person who prays and believes for a big result. And there's also,
and you're one of those people.
I love praying for people and seeing big results and God doing it. But there's also faith. It says faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So we have to have action in our faith with God. There's that personal relationship faith where Abraham actually did actions. He didn't just know God's character. He actually did something with the interaction.
The reason I like that particular passage about faith without works is dead, which is what comes after it in James 2:23, where it says that Abraham believed, and that's what made him righteous. And same with Rahab, who hid the spies in the loft. And they, in both cases, she was a harlot, a prostitute, and what made her righteous was her belief in God. And so I think that a lot of times that there is a belief in Christendom that we have to do good things in order to prove ourselves to God. When in fact, Scripture seems to suggest, if you look at the examples, that it is our faith that makes us righteous before God. And Romans 4 says exactly that about Abraham, that that Abraham believed and that was credited him to righteousness.
Well, in that place where Abraham believed, let's cycle around back to, you know, the fact that he did leave. I mean, God said, I'm going to lead you out. Here's the blessing. Bethany, you read about the blessing and the promise of God to him. And that was an overall life blessing and promise. But for the details of every day, you know, how do you then bring it to shoe leather? Even though God may say something that could span over your lifetime, what about today? And God also made sure, that Abraham understood what he was saying. And I appreciate what was said a little bit earlier, because the fact is that even though Abraham came out of a family line that looked like that they didn't know the true God, you know, they were living in places of idolatry, actually, and yet it says that God made sure that he'd understood. And Abraham was a man after God's true heart. And we appreciate that he obeyed quickly, like you were saying. And I have a thought on that, and that is the level of, and I'm talking about us now, if we really know it's him, then the level of conversion can be measured by the intentionality of our obedience to God.
You know, that's good.
You know, the fact is that if you really know it's him and you're still putting him off and you got self-talk going on in your head, it's probably that still your own security and, you know, you wanting to be your own boss is still on the throne of your life, even though God has spoken. And I've seen many people like this, and they have civil wars going on in the inside of them. That's regarding their conscience, regarding what they know is right, and they're not doing it. So they, and after a while, they begin to seek other things in the world to bring a relief to the conflict that's in them. And all of a sudden, you find people beginning to lose their way into other things. You know, the moment pleasures that never satisfy, because only God can really fulfill that spot in us.
Well, I think Abraham represents someone who was all in. He was willing to leave it all and go where God said, not knowing, willing to believe. And he had to have been all in, completely in.
Herb, your comment, too, is really talking about the quality of our conversion.
Mm. It is.
It's a big subject.
It is. It's a huge one.
Especially in this country.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, how many people have we talked to who have read the Shades of Gray, or are doing things where you go, wow, that's like, you know, clear in the Bible. And yet,
what is clear in the Bible?
Sin is sin.
Okay.
And yet we're compatible with sin in so many ways in this country.
Well, I think, you know, I think we hedge, and you used the title of a book a moment ago, and we allow a lot of compromise into our
lives.
Yes,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. And we need to stand clear of that, because we have a muscle in us called our will. And if we exercise that muscle to resist the Lord, then we'll get better and better and better at resisting him. If we take that same choice and we're saying, God, I'm yours, I will follow you, and in spite of it's at personal cost, you're still my choice to obey, then that muscle begins to strengthen in obedience to God, and you find that it gets easier and easier to respond and respond to his promptings. And all of a sudden you find that you're prioritizing and pushing aside the compromises, because compromises have a intentionality of their own. They have a plan. The adversary has a plan. God has a plan. And it's as simple as turning to him, because he's bigger than any adversarial approach to your life from the devil. No matter what spirit we're dealing with, God is bigger. And it's key for us to yield to him, that our conversion is settled, that we're not... You see, if I were to take a glass of water and put one drop of green dye on there, eventually the whole glass or pitcher even is influenced by the shade of that one drop. Rat poisoning is 97% nutritious. When we look at even the smallest compromises that come into our life, that can cause us to be a delay in obedience. When we know that God's asked us to do that thing, because there is such a thing even as timing. and where the Lord's word can be on your life to do something and you keep putting it off, and then he moves on. Our delay, Mark, like you said, can be a type of disobedience. And all of a sudden you realize that what he's asked you to do has moved on and you're being left behind. That is a frightening feeling, and I've experienced that. And it's all of a sudden like I've stood up inside and said, oh God, I'm so sorry. Don't pass me by on the timing of this thing, because I want to be right in the middle of what you're doing. And that led me into a discovery of what was causing me to hedge, and ultimately really just coming into a new repentance before the Lord.
Well, I like that Abraham wasn't perfect. He certainly made mistakes. He made some big mistakes, like we talked about before with Hagar. Mm. But in spite of being human, which we all are, he chose to believe God and continued on. God fulfilled what he had intentioned over Abraham's life.
That's good.
Because Abraham continued to position himself, not in perfection, but in humanness, believing God. And the promise was fulfilled.
I have a story like that. It's when the Lord asked me to, when I was on staff at a church, to come away from the staff position in a paid position. And it wasn't to leave the church, it was to continue to serve there, and I did. But the challenge was that he was going to become my supplier. And that was scary. And so I remember one day when he began to introduce to me what he had in mind next, it took a while for me just to continue to be in, you know, times of prayer and hearing what he was saying. I finally got it. So I went to my pastor about it and shared with him that I feel like I was to step away from staff position. I was youth pastor at the time, and continue to serve the church, even though we bring in another youth pastor. I would function in other parts without being on staff and a salary. He went to prayer, and he came back. God had given him actually a vision, which is really cool. So we both knew this was right, but I was frightened. And I remember saying, Lord, you open the door, and I'll step. And his immediate response to me was, no, you step, and I'll open the door. And as I kind of just closed my eyes, kind of, and took that step, all of a sudden, I did that, I came away, and I experienced a 7-year walk with him where he was my provider financially. Because I remember saying, well, then I've got to go to work. And he, so strong, and he said, no. And he used a strong word with me. He said, I forbid you. Ooh. He forbade me from going to work.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I remember even at times having misty eyes in my wrestle.
Well, if that isn't going to force faith, I don't know what would.
Well, what he was doing was that he was much like with Abraham. Abraham was on a daily walk with God, being developed in faith, prepping him for the bigger things that was out ahead. And I watched as the Lord provided for me, and it just blew my mind. I was a homeowner, had car payments, insurance, you know, the nine yards. And here it was that all of a sudden I didn't have a source of income, and it began to come in all kinds of ways, envelopes on my car. And I wasn't out there telling people, hey, I've done this, you know, great thing, because I was still serving at the church, even though I wasn't youth pastor anymore. But the word hadn't spread amongst, really, it was kind of a quiet move. But here it came in my mailbox, not from the mailman, but just envelopes with money on the car under the windshield wiper. I was getting phone calls to go and speak places. I wasn't putting myself out there to do so. And all of a sudden the phone started ringing, and I'm going, this is amazing. The last 2 weeks, my stomach would begin to flip because of the bills were coming due. God would do it. And then the next 2 weeks I'd do handstands because God did. You would think after 2 years of this, I would get it. And I was still struggling because there was a wound inside of me I didn't know was there. This was forcing it to the surface. And then one day in a car lot at the Honda dealership, I was just looking at a new car. And that's when he spoke again. And he said, Herb, I want you to buy this now. He used the word now. Wow. And he said, I want to teach you about faith. I went in under this anointing of faith, bought it Friday night. And and then Sunday, I was on my knees, frightened, saying, God, what have I done? Because the anointing dissipated, but his word remained. And then again, he met me, and all of a sudden, here, I brought home this new car. I wouldn't wash it. I was realized that I had an attitude in me that I would lose it. And I remember praying, and that's when God showed me the wound that I had. One time when Dad didn't follow through, one more time, because we were in a difficult season in our family, and Dad just, you know, things were dropping. And I remember standing as a seventh grader saying, I'm never going to trust him again. And it was a vow from a moment of just being left behind. He lifted off the wound. I grabbed the pail and soap, washed the car, because I was afraid I was going to lose it until God healed me instantly. And I enjoyed an increase every month to the penny sometimes of that car payment. It was amazing, 7 years to walk in. But he led me out, but I didn't know where I was going with it. But every day he met my need.
We used every minute today to complete this broadcast on Abraham, which will continue next week. Abraham left us a tremendous model to follow, so if you don't hear God like Abraham did, don't give up. Join us in prayer to receive more of that gifting from God. He always gives generously to those things that make it easier to obey him. Don't forget to mark your calendars for our regional encounter meeting coming up on Saturday, October 18th at New Life Center in Everett. If you've never been to one of our meetings, you're in for a real treat. For more information, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. That's all the time we have for today. For Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Please join us again next week right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.